Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we'd like to know what's on your mind today. We'd like to talk with you about it. The phone lines are open at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, and we invite you to call right now. Again, that number is 844-322-2742. So if you have a Bible question or an issue you'd like to discuss, well, call now, because it is Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew Farley is here with us. Andrew, welcome as always.
My friend.
Yes. So we're talking about a new resource that you've put out, Andrew, and I've just had an opportunity to look at a couple of the presentations, a couple of the sessions that you did. It's a series, a video series called Clean and Close. And that's not how most people feel, clean and close to God. As a matter of fact, they feel the opposite, dirty and distant. So let's talk a little bit about how we go from those negative feelings to the truth that the gospel provides for us, that we really are clean and close to God because of the work of Jesus.
Yeah, well, you know, you've got two major events, the cross and the resurrection, and they're definitely linked by 3 days of time. And what Jesus did in a span of 3 days is pretty incredible, pretty powerful. So first, you get all your sins wiped away. And so as far as feeling clean, you've got permission from the God of the universe to go ahead and recognize that you're clean and that you're close to him, because through the cross he brought you near. The scripture says we're brought near by the blood of Christ, not by having 10,000 quiet times, not by having great attendance at a church building. We are brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're clean and we're close. And even further, the resurrection, Bob, you look at what Christ did in rising from the dead. Well, he united us with him. He gave us new life so that we would be born of him. He spoke of this, predicting it. He said it would be like a vine and branches relationship. Well, you don't get any closer than vine and branches. So we're clean and we're close and we're united and we're forgiven and we're cleansed no matter what, once for all. And in this series, Clean and Close, we're talking about how you can be encouraged in the truth that sets you free. So I'm so glad we're making this available this month to those who give a gift to Basic Gospel, because I believe that it's a great way to get a reminder of how powerful the gospel really is and how good God really is to us and all that he did for us through Jesus.
And I think that's so important, the goodness of God. That's something that we doubt. That's something that we question. That's something that we, keeps us up at night trying to figure out. But the gospel of Jesus Christ really tells us that God is good. And not just at that moment in time 2,000 years ago, but that's his character. That's his eternal character, the very goodness of God. And he is pleased, and it brings him great joy to give us his goodness, all of it in Christ, isn't it?
Yeah, and so if you've ever wondered how good God is, or whether he thinks the world of you, or maybe you've wondered, is he upset with you, frustrated with you, you don't have to wonder. You don't have to doubt. It's not a cloudy issue. You can just go back to the cross and the resurrection every single time and fix your eyes there, set your mind there, and say, wait a minute, this is a God who gave up his own life for me. This is a God who says he's freely given me all things. And here I am wondering if he's ticked off, and he says I have peace with him. Here I am wondering if I'm out of fellowship with him, and he says I'm united to him. So sometimes we're asking the wrong questions. We're asking, am I going to skate by? And he's saying you're raised and seated in heavenly places with him. We're asking, you know, am I cursed? Am I having to deal with this curse or that curse, or did I mess it up, Lord? And he's saying you're blessed with every spiritual blessing. So sometimes we're asking the wrong questions, because we can't anticipate that it's possibly this good, but God is greater than we can ever imagine.
Yes, indeed. The gospel doesn't sell us short. The gospel lifts us up to be exactly what God had in mind for us from the very, very beginning. Yes, that's good news.
That's good news. It's clean and close news, as a matter of fact. This series, friends, is available to you on DVD, USB thumb drive, or by digital download. And we're sure that you're going to enjoy learning more from Andrew through his passion for the grace message. So when you get a chance, drop by BasicGospel.net, make a donation to help Basic Gospel keep the good news coming, and just click donate at BasicGospel.net and request your copy of Clean and Close. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us. 844-322-2742 happens to be the number to dial if you'd like to discuss your particular issue or your question. Give us a call. That number is good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, we had this question that came in overnight. Let's listen.
Hello, brothers. This is Harold from Taylor. We love supporting you guys. I've been a fan with y'all for many, many years. My question is, in 2 Thessalonians 2:10-11, it says, "And with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved, therefore God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false." If you could give me some clarification on exactly what that means, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. God bless.
Yeah, well, we're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Bob, and this is when this lawless one shows up. If we back up just a couple of verses, it says the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, and then it says the lawless one will be revealed. This is a future event. It says whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. So this was not happening at the time that Paul wrote this, and it's not happening in our time. It's happening at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ as a future event. And there's all kinds of wonders and displays and distractions that people are suckered into, and they end up following this lawless one who is working the works of Satan. And so what it means in context here is that they're deceived, and God looks down upon this, and he essentially, very reminiscent of Romans, is handing people over to the delusion of unbelief. If that's where they want to be, if that's what they're going to choose in having rejected the gospel all their lives, then it says they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them this delusion. So they've already refused the truth. They've already refused to be saved. And God is basically saying, all right, then hands off here. I'm not going to force you guys into the truth. I'm not going to push you into believing against your own will. I mean, one thing, Bob, one thing we see throughout human history is that God is a gentleman. I mean, when he says the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, he's not kidding around. He says, I stand at the door and knock. He knocks at the door, but he's not going to knock down the door. He does let us choose. And so this is a handing over at the end of the age as people have rejected Christ and now they're living in delusion.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Paul kind of echoes this in Romans chapter 1, where he says that those who've exchanged the truth for a lie, he's basically handed over. And that's exactly what he's repeating here in 2 Thessalonians. We also see in, I forget exactly where the passage is, they're in the end times, they're deceiving and being deceived. And in their own attempt to deceive others, they're being deceived themselves. And that's part of this strong delusion as well. That's just part of what's baked into deception itself, that you, the deceiver, become the deceived one. And yes, that's all a part of it. But I think the point that you made there, that these are all people who are perishing. These are people who find pleasure in unrighteousness. And it's that attitude, that disposition of the heart, that brings about all these other consequences.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, it is Basic Gospel. We'd love to hear from you, friends. The number 844-322-2742. The lines are wide open, and you can speak directly with Bob Christopher, Andrew Farley, and me. And we'd love for you to do that. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, Philippians 3:18 talks about those who are enemies of the cross. And our friend Brian from Hawaii asked the question, why would anyone be an enemy of the cross? What is it about the cross of Jesus that would cause someone to become an enemy?
Yeah, well, you know, it's just pride. I don't know that we can, nail it down to anything else, but it's pride when you look at all that God has done for you and you say, you know what, I'm going to go a different route. I'm going to go the route of self-improvement. I'm going to go the route of works-based righteousness. I'm going to look at this gift as staring it in the face and say no thank you and step over it, either heading back to a Jewish temple 2,000 years ago or choosing pagan religiosity, and that would have been the choice of the Philippians of that day, the Colossians and the Ephesians and all of those Gentiles. They would have heard this message of Jesus and then decided that it was foolishness because, you know, why would God die? Why would God, if he is God, why would he humble himself in such a way? Why would he stoop so low as to become one of us? I mean, these Greeks were chasing after intellectual strength and flashy and showy rhetoric. And this talk of the Christ was foolishness to many of them. So I think sometimes our human pride won't allow us to see the love of God that we so desperately need, that he became flesh, that he became one of us, that he gave up his very life for us. And instead, we want to engage in that country club religion that is so prevalent all over the world and in the religions of the world. The most common thread is here's a principle or a set of principles. Here's some rules for self-improvement. Now get busy and don't worry. The deity up there, he'll grade on a curve, and you just do your best, and we'll see you soon. And, you know, that's religion. But what the grace of God says is there's no way you can do it. There's no way you'll ever get it done. You'll never arrive at perfection. You will never meet the standard. And that is why Jesus Christ had to give his life for us and then give us this incredible gift of his life in us freely, apart from what we could earn or do. And that's an assault on the ego. It's an assault on human pride, isn't it, Bob?
Yeah, it is. And I think, when you look at the way of salvation, it comes through death, burial, and resurrection. And that's certainly not what the Jews expected. That's not what the people of Israel expected. They looked at the way of salvation as a conquering king coming into this world to conquer the Roman Empire, to elevate the nation of Israel so that they could be a blessing to the entire world. And that just wasn't the story of Jesus. He came to be the suffering servant, and in that suffering servant to bring salvation to all who call upon his name. So the way of salvation, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that's the way that we have to take. We have to die with Christ. Well, who wants to die? I mean, we want to live forever, but in living forever, we have to die first so that we can be raised. Without death, there's no resurrection. So, like you said, that just doesn't fit well with our human way of thinking. And so the Jews were enemies of the cross because they didn't like the humbleness of it. They didn't think that they needed that way of salvation. As they said to the Pharisees, as the Pharisees said to Jesus, we've never been a slave to anyone, and we're certainly not slaves to sin. But Jesus knew best, and he said, if you're going to be saved, then this is the way of salvation, and you're either going to accept that, receive it, and walk that journey by faith, or in your own pride, you're going to reject it and say, I'm going to do it on my own, and that just isn't going to work, is it?
Not going to fly.
No.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Again, Andrew Farley is joining Bob Christopher and me. We'd love to hear from you. 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, Tim from Indianapolis would like an explanation of 1 John 5:16 and 17. He says, I'm thinking that this is talking about a Christian who sins in the flesh, who may, as an example, contract some disease and would eventually take their life. What are your thoughts on 1 John 5:16 and 17?
Yeah, well, Tim, you know, I think this really gets cleared up as we transition away from some sort of physical death and recognize he's talking about spiritual death. You know, the Catholic Church would look at this and say, well, see, there's a fodder, there's support for the idea that suicide is unforgivable. They look at this and they say there's a sin that leads to death. And, oh, no, there's no solution for that. You can't pray for that. And they even say it's unforgivable, ultimately, because you can't have that deathbed confession or those last rites. But when you dig a little deeper here, guys, what you see is that John is talking about a sin that leads to spiritual death, and he's not saying that, in this passage at least, his point is not that it's unforgivable. His point is that you can't pray for it. So let me just read the passage. It says, if you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray, and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying that you should pray about that. So what does all this mean? Well, the sin that leads to death is unbelief. It is rejecting the gospel. And I can't pray you into the kingdom. And you can't pray me into the kingdom. So that's what he's talking about here. If someone is a believer and they're struggling and you want to pray for them, great. They've got the Spirit of God living in them, and God supplies life to them and counsel to them and help to them. He is their helper and their comforter. But if someone is an unbeliever and they're choosing to reject the message of the gospel, you cannot pray them into the kingdom. Sure, you can pray like Paul does for open doors for the gospel, that they might be inundated with opportunities to call upon the Lord to be saved. You might pray for a congregation or a city or a family or an individual that they would encounter the gospel in a powerful way and that doors would be opened. But at the end of the day, it's their decision. God lets them open the door, and we can't pray people into salvation. So, Tim, when we realize this, it's about spiritual death, not physical death, then certainly we can also conclude that, hey, if I'm a believer, there's no unforgivable sin for me. Jesus has already taken away my sins. He's already forgiven me, past, present, and future. Hebrews 10:14 says, by one offering, we've been made perfect forever.
Yeah, that's that cleanness that we've been talking about, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. The Clean and Close series that we were highlighting, that's what it's all about. So if you've had any doubt about your forgiveness, any doubt about your cleansing, and you're looking for some clarity and encouragement, well, get that new series we've got going this month. It's called Clean and Close.
Clean and Close. And friends, when you make a contribution to support the message of grace and the Lord Jesus Christ through Basic Gospel, we encourage you to just click that button and request your copy of Clean and Close by Andrew Farley. It's going to be a great series, already a great series. We want you to be a part of it. You can order it on DVD, USB, thumb drive, or by digital download. It's called Clean and Close by Andrew Farley, and we want you to have a copy when you make your contribution to Basic Gospel. Well, we had this question from Barbara in Grand Blanc, Michigan. If Jesus is the only way, how were Old Testament people saved?
Well, by the same way, it would be faith. And in fact, you know, we look at Hebrews 11, we see the heroes of the faith. We see a number of those Old Testament people that are listed there, people like Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and others, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. There are so many listed in Hebrews 11, and they're justified by faith. We see this in the early chapters of Romans. As well, as we look at Romans 3 and 4, we see that Abraham was justified by faith. the law came in so much later, 430 years later. And so the law never saved anybody. Nobody was ever saved by obedience to the law. It's always been about faith. So just look at it this way. The way of faith is older than the way of law. The law was designed to show people their sin, but it never saved anybody. It never made anybody fully forgiven. It never made anybody fully cleansed or right with God. So it's always been about faith. And, you know, it's so important to see this, Bob, because I think that's what makes people restless and anxious. They try religion and they burn out and wonder where they went wrong. And then we come back to the simple truth of Romans 4. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness.
You know, Andrew, it's kind of interesting, too. We have this faith, but faith always has an object. And the object of our faith is Jesus Christ. So Paul talks about that in Romans 10. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the message concerning Christ. So our faith is in a person. And when we go back and look at the Old Testament, of course, Jesus wasn't there in person, but Jesus was there in promise. So when Abraham believed God, it was in response to God's promise concerning the Son, concerning his offspring, that through this offspring, the entire world would be blessed. So even though Jesus wasn't there in person, he was there in promise, and they responded to that promise, and it was credited to them as righteousness. And that's just carried over. And I love how Paul really, really kind of underscores that point in Romans chapter 4 and the entire book of Galatians to say that just as Abraham believed God about a promise, we believe God about the promise fulfilled in Jesus. And boy, we get the full blessing of that promise. They just waited in anticipation of it. And there's a big difference there as far as our experience, but the kind of mechanism of it, by grace through faith in Jesus.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, you know, one more thought about that, guys. Even when you see the name the Lord in the Old Testament, let's remember that the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when, you know, Jesus says in John 5, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for Moses wrote of me. So then you look at Luke 24, it says, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So we got to know, if we believe Jesus is God, then Jesus is eternal. He existed in the old, he exists in the new, and he has been and always will be the object of our faith. Guys?
Yes, indeed. Andrew, take about 30 seconds and tell our friends about the United Conference coming up in mid-October.
Well, this is a great opportunity for you to get encouraged in the grace of God. It's a great opportunity for all of us to get together and fellowship. It's been a while since we've seen each other, so join us in October for this United Conference. It's going to be a lot of fun, Bob.
All the information available at BaseyGospel.net/United. We want you to be a part of it, October 15th through the 17th, right here in our ministry hometown of Lewisville, Texas. So once again, go to BaseyGospel.net/United. Get the information, get registered. We want to see you at United. Well, that's it for another edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Remember, it's because of you that we're here every weekday bringing you this good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need your help now, as always, to ensure the message remains on the air and online. So we encourage you to donate now or anytime at BasicGospel.net. Again, that's BasicGospel.net, and request your copy of Andrew Farley's new video series called Clean and Close. Want to remind you also, the listener line is open around the clock for those of you who can't make the call during the live broadcast. If you have questions about a Bible passage or about the Christian life, well, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742, and we'll discuss it on the Basic Gospel program. We love hearing from you, our listeners, and so we want you to use that number if you can't call during the live broadcast, which we would like you to do, by the way. But again, that number, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.